Maury Winters had done a skillful job of getting his bail reduced to a tenth of what the prosecution had been demanding. The lawyer had been beaming in triumph, but bail might just as well have been $5 million as far as John Blair Creighton was concerned, or $500 million, because $50,000 was four times what he had in the bank, checking and savings accounts combined. Of course, you didn't have to come up with the whole amount. You could make use of a bail bondsman, but you had to have some cash, and he'd already written out a check for $10,000 to Maury Winters as a retainer, and had rushed to move money from savings to checking to cover it. Because it wouldn't do to bounce a check to your attorney, would it? Winters had wanted to know whom he could call to post bond, and he'd been unable to come up with a name. His agent? Roz was a pit bull in negotiations, a mother hen when the words wouldn't come, but she wasn't rolling in cash herself. His friends? You made a list, Winters had told him, and you worked your way down it and made the calls, and you got a few dollars here and a few dollars there, and yes, it was marginally humiliating, but so was Rikers Island, and, you should pardon the expression, making a few phone calls wouldn't get you fucked in the ass. Except it might, he thought, metaphorically, anyway. He'd begun making the list, but before he could finish it or start calling any of the names on it, he was out of jail. His ex-wife, the once and once again Karen Frechette, had put up her equity in the Montclair house as surety for his bond. Well, of course, she'd said when he called to thank her. How could I leave you in a jail cell? The conversation was a difficult one. He'd asked about the kids, and she said she didn't think they really knew what was going on. But I suppose they will, she said, before this is over. I just wish it would get cleared up in a hurry. You're not the only one.